Welcome. Let's talk about urban planning. Today we talk about how borders and boundaries within cities create inequalities and limit possibilities. My guest today, Harsh Jagtar, argues that these borders are often based on colonial and modernist ideas that divide the city into categories like formal or informal, or public and private. Let's check this out. I'm Rodrigo Silva. Let's talk about urban planning. Harsh, welcome to our episode.
Hello.
So Harsh, if I read it well, while the topic of borders in cities has been explored, the specific concept of urban borderlands as a space for subaltern agency is a gap in the research. So yours focuses on how people living in self-built neighborhoods use the spaces between themselves and the formal city to resist inequalities imposed by a dominant system. So tell us more about this.
Yeah. So thanks for, first of all, inviting me to speak about this topic. So I just wanted to mention why I was interested in first understanding this inequality. So when I grew up in Western India, cities of Western India, I saw that there were inequalities within cities that were quite evident, and almost poor neighborhoods and rich neighborhoods would sit side by side. So there was a very clear divide that separated the cities that I've lived in. So it is that helped me or guided me to think about borders, really. But what I was interested in, as you mentioned, there is a lot of research that has shown that top-down dominant approaches to urban planning have a tendency to create borders. And precisely, a lot of scholars have faced the history of colonial modernity to highlight that it is precisely that binary understanding between public, private, vehicular, pedestrian, secular, religious, and so on and on, is that logic is what allows or, you know, creates or materializes into cities in the form of divisions. But yet, having again witnessed cities in Western India and in self-built neighborhoods, I've noticed also that people exercise their agency to make their neighborhoods livable. They are not really necessarily marginalized, dilapidated housing where everybody's suffering. That's not the image that you see when you go and witness self-built neighborhoods. So it's really that conundrum that I wanted to resolve or understand, really, as to what is it that people do in the light of the divisionary logics of planning that come to them from elsewhere, from top down. But what is it that they do with these borders, and how is it that they make life livable, right? So cities more open and livable. Mm-hmm.
So, well, let's jump into the findings. What do people do?
Yeah. So there are, again, I mean, going back to the literature a bit, there is an logical response to the top-down planning practice in terms of intellectual thinking is that people resist from the bottom up, right? So there is a lot of literature that does show resistive practices of people living in marginalized communities and self-built settlements. So my research really showed that instead of resisting from the outside, so to say, or in a democratic space, so to say, people actually inhabit the borderlands that the borders create. So any border creates a zone around that border, that which borderland studies has shown quite well, that space around the border, which allows for norms from both sides of the border, in this case, private, public, religious, secular, etc., to coexist. Now, what people do is that they inhabit these, they make these borderlands their own. And by making them their own, they create spaces in the borderlands that are porous, that allow for flows from one side of the border into the other. And we have seen a lot of research that shows precisely these kinds of practices at borders between nation states, for instance. But in this particular research, I show that material artifacts like simple things or mundane things like walls and religious structures, small ones that are in the cities, you know, act like the borderlands that make flows between the two sides of the binaries possible. So it is through that making borders more porous, if you want to call it, that people make their settlements more livable.
So you mentioned this agency from bottom up in your study, that people inhabit the borderlands, so the zone around the borders, and that new flows occur. What are some practical implications from this study, like policymakers or for individual choice? What would you say?
So more than individuals, I'll speak about what policymakers and governing institutions, right, planners can do. I think because of the colonial modernist legacy, most planning practices still tend to think through the binary logic of what is a public zone and what is a private zone, what is a vehicular space and what is a pedestrian space. But given the implications of what I just mentioned, I think thinking through borderlands or using borderlands as a logic through which to plan cities is something that planners can take up or policymakers can take up. In other words, policymakers can actually support borderlands, make borderlands more usual in cities. So rather than creating borders, create borderlands would be my message to policymakers.
Mm-hmm. Some tips to policymakers listening to us. And shifting from policymakers to academia now, so what should future research focus on?
So one thing I realized while doing this research and trying to trace some of the binary logics and the borderlands, especially at the nuanced level of urban borderlands at the level of materiality, I found out that there are many others that need to be still unpacked. So binaries are all around us, whether it's east, west, or so it's the global south and the global north, or men, women, and so on and so forth, right? If there are so many binaries and they perpetuate in our cities, then there will be so many borderlands to explore because they will have some sort of materiality in cities, because it is through the materiality of the city that one experiences these binaries and borders. So I think in terms of academia, there is a lot to explore, both in terms of what kinds of binaries and borders are being materialized in cities, and what kind of practices, subaltern practices or practices from the bottom up, that unsettle these binaries, and how can we learn from these and translate these lessons from one context to another so that we create more and more open cities. So I think that would be an agenda for future research.
Now, that's perfect. And I would like to follow up on that to know some more about your personal reflections on this, because your study, so your work and these new flows that occur in the zones around borders, these spaces, it made me think about possibly, and you mentioned this a bit, about the limitations of this binary thinking in urban planning of the rich and the poor, the public and the private. So if this binary thinking should or not perhaps be challenged. And also, you just mentioned is these sometimes subtle and unrecognized ways that marginalized groups enact their agency, so enact action. Mm-hmm. But your personal reflections, what struck you the most about your study?
I would say, the thing that struck me the most was the creativity and resilience that these borderland spaces show, right? So one, especially in the light of dominant regimes or authoritarian regimes, one feels that one does not have the agency to change the systems. And I think a lot of contemporary scholars are thinking in whether it's climate change or other kinds of experiences we are seeing in the world. But I think these borderlands have shown me that creativity and resilience towards dominant structures. So it's that struck me the most. And precisely the subtle ways, I would say, because one often thinks that in order to resist dominant regimes, one has to go on riots or whatever, right? But that's not really how necessarily transformation can take place. And that really was a lesson that I learned from this research about the subtleness. It's not so much non-resistive, but more transformative agency that people exercise through the borderlands. And yeah, there is something to learn from that.
Yeah, creativity. If someone just joined our conversation, didn't listen to anything that we talked before, and you wanted to give them one or two sentences to wrap up the whole episode, Harsh, what would it be?
Yeah, well, so through my research, I focused on material assemblages or materiality at urban borderlands, which highlight on the one hand the kinds of binaries or inequalities and divisions that are being produced in cities. And on the other hand, I showed that the borderlands that are created around the borders and the materiality within these urban borderlands show how people living in these urban borderlands inhabit those borderlands and unsettle the binaries and divisions. So that would be my summary.
Perfect. Harsh, thank you very much.
Brilliant. Thanks, Rodrigo.
This podcast is powered by Cogitatio Press. You can listen to this episode on the Let's Talk About Urban Planning website, on Cogitatio Press YouTube channel, and whatever you get your podcast.